Coast to coast on the World Wide Web, this is Trot Radio on StandardBredCanada.ca. Norm Borg here from the home office at Rideau-Carlton Raceway. Carl Jamieson is a very busy individual. Two of his brightest stars are catching the attention of the harness racing world on both sides of the border. Of course, the winner of the Pepsi North American Cup, that being Up the Credit. He's in this Saturday in the Simcoe Stakes. And, of course, he's got his two-year-old, Warrawee Needy, a horse that has been compared recently to another superstar whose name we won't mention just yet. I'm sure Carl knows what we're talking about. Carl, welcome to Trot Radio. We've got Up the Credit in on Saturday. Tell us about Warrawee Needy. He broke in his last start in the OSS Gold at Flamborough. How's he doing, and when will we see him again?
I was trying to get him in to go in Mohawk for this week. Didn't write no class. So his next start is going to be back in Grand River on a gold eliminations in Grand River.
Yeah.
And so he's going to go to Grand River. The last start in Flamborough, he made a little break on the turn. He hit his knee.
I thought he might have been on the knee, Carl, because I saw the tape of that and the other mile in which he did make another break. And in both cases, there seemed to be that stumble that seems to be indicative of a horse being on the knee. But you were talking about the hobble stretching as well.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, I think what happened, the hobbles were stretched on him. And I put the new hobbles on him in Ottawa, the second start. The first start, he stretched them hobbles an inch when he made a break. And I put new hobbles back on him, and they were stretched out 2 inches.
Wow.
Yeah.
He's such a strong horse. That doesn't really surprise me.
No. I was checking his buckles and the hobbles to see if he had worn the buckles, like bent the buckle type thing. But his buckles were great, good. There was no problem at all. I put them on the board, and they were stretched way out, and like they were new hobbles. So they weren't checked in Flamborough. They don't check hobbles length too much in stake races and stuff. So anyway, we overlooked it, and I think what happens, likely he tried to got a little rough in trying to reach his hobbles and then hit his knee. I really think what happened to him. I mean, he goes close to his knee sometimes, but not all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Just when he comes on, like, oh, well, when he come on a quick burst like that, he kind of whacked his knee, and then he caught himself right back facing.
Yeah.
Well, Flamborough, he didn't, and he cut himself, too. Caught his ankle on the inside as well.
That's probably part of being a two-year-old and not being quite, you know, able to fit into your own body. He's such a tremendous specimen.
Definitely. That's definitely.
Now, I don't want to curse with good wishes, but I just want to get your take on this, because Jody and I were talking off air a couple of weeks ago about Warrawee Needy, and I said to him, I said, Jody, who does this horse remind you of? And he said to me, I know what you're saying, and I don't want to say it because I don't want to curse him. He does kind of remind us of a certain individual that took the racing world by storm.
Some Beat Somewhere.
You said it.
Well, everybody tells me the same thing, that he reminds me of Some Beat Somewhere. So
yeah,
he's so strong. I was really hoping. I had this last couple of weeks been harassing here. I mean, my stable's been sick. The whole stable's been sick with virus. And there was a class last week, and I couldn't get him in because he was still sick. And so I couldn't race him. So I was hoping he had one this week, so I'd race him before the his next goal. But they didn't write one, so he's not in until the next goal now. But I'd like to get one more start of Mohawk there. Well, he will anyway. I think really the next next goal is in Woodbine.
Okay.
So I think he'll open some eyes in Woodbine.
Well, we saw him set a new record for two-year-old Colt Pacers at Rideau, and he did it so effortlessly. He's got his best foot in front of him, to say the very least. Let's talk about Up the Credit. He is in on Saturday, and he's racing consistently against Preferreds at Mohawk. What can we expect when he goes into the Simcoe on Saturday?
I think that he's been sick a little bit too. He's been a little bit sick all summer, but I think he's going to be on top of his game.
Mm-hmm.
I think that he really is likely the best horse in that race, in my opinion, anyway.
Is he pointed to the jug?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. That'd be, next start would be the jug.
All right.
So he's got the Simcoe there. There's only a 7-horse field, which makes it a lot better for him if he races him off the pace and, let him fly home.
Yeah. You're racing the Confed Cup with Up the Credit. He had a tough trip in the LM, made a break in the final. What exactly happened there? It just seems like breakitis kind of hit your stable all at once.
Yeah, you want to believe it, that's for sure. Well, If you're watching the race, the horse on top was backing off and with the backing into him a little bit, and my horse was all crooked in the hole.
Yep.
He didn't wear no headphones, so his head was all sideways, and I guess he hit himself and made a break. He's never made a break in his life, never afterwards. But when they're crooked like that, they're going to hit themselves and interfere. And he did interfere with himself. Well, I even had a pair of knee boots on him that day because it was a glamour race and a half-mile track.
Sure.
But no shin boots on him. He did hit himself and made a break. And like I say, I couldn't believe. Like I always tell people, when you're racing for big money and you're trying to get a check, and you get a check, it's great. But when you're raising big money and you're picked to win, and then something happens, like you make a break, it's worse.
It is, because the pressure's been on you, and people are going to think the worst, unfortunately. Now, in addition to what you've got racing, you are an expert at picking out young talent. I'm sure you've got a few yearlings picked out already in your Canadian yearling sale catalog. Carl, aside from the obvious, we all look for confirmation and so on, pedigree. What do you look for in a yearling? You're obviously darn good at it.
Well, I'm always picking crosses. They got to be double crosses and triple crosses and stuff like that. They got to be crossed in the right order. People have cross horses that hate their cross, but they're not cross the way I cross them.
How do you cross them?
Well, I just can't tell everybody how I cross them.
I guess
not.
It's worth it. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, you're right. It just seems like such a mystery.
It's hard to explain to people anyway. They look at you, they got two heads, and you're trying to explain it to them. So you got to know what the horses are by and what they're like back. When the ones you can't even see, you got to know what they're by to know what the crosses are, to get double crosses like your Metal Skipper and Albatross or Brett Hanover or whatever cross you're putting together.
Your original partner in this business was a real follower of pedigree, if I recall.
Yeah, his name was Carl Stewart. He just owned horses with me and stuff. He didn't. He would never train or nothing like that.
No.
He studied breeding and stuff, and he came up with this format, and I think he was right. And he taught me how to do it, and honestly, I didn't think I was learning anything while he was still alive, but I still had him depend on to pick out the horses, and I'd just go and look at them. I was desperate at looking at them and buying them, but not picking out the crosses. So after he had died, I started going through some stuff that we had written down and what we'd done into the years and stuff, and then it was really, for me, it was like turning on a light bulb. I guess I was listening, didn't know I was.
You had that aha moment.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it obviously works for you. Obviously, you look for confirmation. I was just looking over Warween Edie's yearling video, and I was just so struck. I mean, this horse is a thoroughbred.
People didn't like him because he was big, and people didn't like him because of an Edie's cam. But what I said, I wasn't buying an Edie's cam. I was buying the colt I'm looking at, and I really liked that colt, and I thought that he would, with a Big Bay Point, had won a 49 chains. There's a three-year-old, three-quarter brother to him. I thought this horse would bring 50,000 anyway. And I was prepared to go to 50,000 on him, and I bought him for 20. Thought we sold him, and I guess it worked that we did sell.
You sure did. It was one heck of an investment. And you know, he's only a 2-year-old, so we haven't seen the best yet of Warween Edie. Listen, best of luck this weekend, Carl. Hopefully your stable will shake out of the what can only be described as a minor period of a rough patch.
We had a headwind last night, so it's starting to come around again, I hope.
There you go. Little Trot Radio Karma working your way.
Yeah, exactly.
Thanks so much, Carl Jameson.
All right. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye now.